Tēnā koe. Ko Peter Robinson, tōku ingoa, you're listening to BFM.
Liz Breslin is a queer poet, editor and performer. Her new book, Show You're Working Out, is a collection of poems that weave together topics of complicity, cycling, DIY, domestic abuse, the queerness of hands, pride, Pilates, wellness culture and white supremacy. The title of the book, Show You're Working Out, shows a play on the word your, one being Y-O-U-R, which refers to what we are being asked to do with maths in our, when we used to go to school when we were young, show you're working, and the other, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, speaks to how it feels important to show that you're working out within a relationship or small community when you are wanting to be accepted, together destabilizing the singular narrative within the collection. I had a chat with Liz about her overall practice as well as her new book. Could you start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Okay, so I have some kind of practice in doing this because we always have to write a bio, and it's funny because mine has grown over the years, and now it mostly starts with words like queer and feminist and tangata treaty, and I think that's because I hang out in spaces where those things aren't as common as they could be, and so I sort of want to put those words in people's faces. I guess also I'm sort of known a little bit as a spoken word poet, but I also make zines and do a lot of cut and paste work, so it's kind of funny to me that there's this delineation between like a page poet and a stage poet, because I'm kind of both. And I'm based in Otipoti, so I'm currently obsessed with being warm enough but also not damp, and that that is an ongoing thing. And also I think like the last thing I'll probably say about that is that I always find it funny to introduce like only myself, because I feel like I belong to such a strong community of like friends and writers and writer friends, but I get it. I'm increasingly understanding that I have to put myself forward as someone who has a story in that community. So that's what I'm doing.
Beautiful. And you have a new book that has just been released titled Show You're Working Out that showcases a new collection of poetry from you. Could you speak a little bit to this new body of work and the kind of key themes and areas that it explores?
Sure. So I guess the first thing to say is about the title. So Show You're Working Out, it's spelled two different ways. So there's Show You're Working Out, Y-O-U-R working out, like, you know, like you have to do in maths exams or science and stuff, like show you're working out and
yes,
like demonstrate how you got to this conclusion, I guess. And then there's the other one, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, which is like the pressure to conform, I guess. And a lot of, and I'm thinking about that in both ways in the book. So it's based around Pākehā stories in the rural south of Te Waipounamu. And it's looking at stories that aren't like your common southern man, she'll be right story, you know, like Pākehā women's stories, Pākehā queer stories, the kind of stories that like don't fit the dominant colonizing narrative, and sort of looking at how we've, I guess, created that narrative by sort of cutting into it and queering it a little bit. And I think, like, part of doing that, like, one of the, I mean, there's lots of kind of lighter things in it and queer joy things in it as well, and looking at things like reality TV and Pilates and scissors, you know, and scissoring, which is so important. But also there's kind of a theme going through it, a darker theme of, like, how, you know how Moana Jackson says, like, colonization sucks for everyone, but it's looking at kind of like the particular Pākehā complicity, like structural complicity and personal complicity with, like, continuing to colonize at the same time as, like, being, I guess, abused or bruised by that same colonization. So that kind of cycle that goes around for, like, women and queer people. And I like I saw, I think yesterday or today, a report came out about on Radio New Zealand about like the astronomic rates of domestic violence we have here, and the collection speaks to that a bit as well, about the sort of silences and erasures that make that continue on like a structural and a personal level. So there's quite a lot in it.
So covering kind of like a broad range of topics and kind of weaving them all in with each other.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of, I like the way you use the word weaving in that, because it is kind of quite tactile the way that I've done it. I don't know if it's as beautiful as weaving, but a lot of the poems in there are like using a kind of cut and paste process, where I'll take two different, quite disparate sources, and I will put them together to, I don't know, make a different truth. Like there's one piece in there called, I think, Things You Don't Understand, and it's a cut and paste of, Tammy Wynette's song Stand By Your Man, and also a report saying that the New Zealand police are no longer going to be responding to domestic violence call-outs. Not that I want the police to be turning up, not that I love and respect the police, but it makes a new story out of those two stories that have both, been part of my story, I guess.
And that leads into my next question, kind of about your writing process and what it looks like, and specifically with this new collection of poems. Could you talk a bit about how this creative process went about in the making of this new body of work?
So I think I've learned through... So I recently completed a PhD, which was amazing. Like, I never thought that was something that I would ever get to do in my life. And through that, I learned that there's a term for something that I've always done, which is called queer scavenging, which is basically finding little bits that don't fit and joining them together in a kind of curious way. So there's that. That's what I've always done, and whether that's something that's sonic, like a phrase that won't get out of my head, or whether that's a piece of text that I've found somewhere and kind of wanted to repurpose or illuminate, I guess. And so I think I alluded to it before, but my process has been more and more very literally with a pair of scissors and with glue, or with sometimes with like stuff that I found in the op shops, or I especially like cutting into old white men stuff and making it different and new. That's always a joyful experience. But so a lot of the poems in this book are very much poems that work on the page, I guess. And there's some of them that I haven't read out loud yet, and I don't know if I will, because I don't know, they're more concrete like that, they're more visual, and that I'm doing that more and more, and that's a new and great experience.
And by the cutting and pasting, do you mean like the actual objects, or like you write and then print it out and then like kind of cut up the words and rearrange?
It can be either. So usually I would print out a text, whether it's like an academic text or a newspaper article, or
I see,
all of the above, and then I would rearrange it, on a piece of paper or larger scale, like on the office floor, and then sometimes, that was when I had an office, PhD style. My poor office mates, they would come in and there would be like scraps of paper all over the place. but also there's a poet called Dodie Bellamy, and she has this idea called cunt ups rather than cut ups. And for doing that, she cuts up like stuff that we think of as canonical, so like that Shakespeare and all those people, and then she cuts it up with stuff that we don't consider to be like important texts. Like she's done stuff with like her dreams, or with porn, or with other stuff. So I've used that approach as well, like that cunt up approach. And like, for example, there's a poem called Admit Impediments, which is Shakespeare's sonnet 116 that I was made to memorize at school, and then like all these unhelpful things that people have said to me over the years that I've kind of like kept in my head and memorized, and like thought that they said something about me. So I've written them all down, cut them all up. Originally, I like sewed them onto a canvas, but now they're a poem in a book.
Wonderful. And like with this approach and like with your writing, what are your hopes for readers as they delve into your book? Are there any thoughts or feelings you would like it to provoke or for readers to kind of like mull over certain feelings or thoughts?
Oof. I guess it makes me nervous thinking about readers, you know, like, because I think sometimes even though I'm writing into, like, into this great community that I'm part of, I sort of have to try and put those blinkers on a little bit. But I suppose I would like people to be curious. I would like these poems to leave people curious. Like, particularly if I think about other Pākehā readers, I want to be part of that conversation about thinking about how we're complicit, even as we are, you know, like also bruised by what's happening with our colonizing like structures and relationships.
Yeah, it's quite hard, eh? Because I feel like when you've when you're creating something, it's like this really personal, intimate thing, and it's like, I don't know, it's yours, and then suddenly it's kind of out in the world for people to kind of read and I don't know, kind of bring on their own history and their own memories and feelings.
Totally. And like, you know, my story is not the only story, and I don't want to make these poems like definitive or to, you know, or to suggest that. I do think it's interesting as well when we're writing about, I don't know, I guess queer stories, women's stories, also though I think like writing stories of domestic violence is this really hard dance, because there's so much you're actually not allowed to say explicitly because of, for example, defamation laws, right? But if you can't say things explicitly, how can you say them out loud? You know, like, how can you make things change? And that is a really, I think that's a really, like, interesting challenge, like, not just in terms of, like, talking about domestic violence, but in terms of, like, talking about other, like, structural and personal violences, because a lot of them, like, don't even legally exist or something, you know? And poetry is a really good way to, I think, create some uncertainty and some feeling in lieu of actually being able to say some things out loud.
Yeah. And lastly, I've asked you to prepare a little reading for us from your new book. Would you like to introduce it and then begin with the reading?
I would love to do that. Let me just turn to it. Read you this poem, which is called Pilates Could Happen to Anyone. And the title is kind of a misrendering of a line by Tom Stoppard, who wrote in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead that pirates could happen to anyone. And it also references a poem by Tusiata Avia, who wrote an amazing poem, which is I Cannot Write a Poem About Gaza. So that's referenced in here. And it's for my friend H.J. Kilkelly, who I do Pilates with. So this is Pilates Could Happen to Anyone. One, H.J. has her abs on 2.5 springs, and I have my phone on record in the black box under my reformer, because I'm going to write a poem about Pilates. I'm going to juxtapose the instructions we're given with the text from the stories on my Instagram feed. And I'm going to make a political point about the fucked up interconnectedness of wellness and white supremacy, lines like two. If you like to work hard, choose the springs at the high end of the suggested settings. And if you need to, you can reduce them halfway through the exercise. Please remember you should never feel any pain if you do stop straight away. While talks of ceasefire remain inconclusive, Israel is invading Rafah. Offering, hug a tree. Here's what you need to know. Bomb kills at least 12 people, including children, at two displacement camps in eastern Congo. Grit happens. It's hell week. 3 hours from Auckland, discover New Caledonia, back on the menu, Queen Olives. T-zone tight, all eyes on Rafa. The people of Gaza cannot wait. They have nowhere else to go. Hug the moon. The weather is grim, but we'll still do poetry, lick your toe, and wave it around a bit. Goodbye to dopamine addiction with micro-learning. Get the T-shirt. Springs. Women. 1 to 1.5. Men. 1.5 to 2. 3. Over soy flat whites, we agree, we busy our bodies to shush our minds. Our momentum has taken over. We Google Kathleen Stamford Grant. We discuss our complex apocalypse composting systems for entitled white men and their nice white lady friends, because compost is better for the planet than setting them on fire in a big bin and sitting on the lid smoking. We've put a lot of thought into this. How we would watch them break down under a sprinkling of Tino Rangatiratanga, equity and drag queen story times. But this is a long-term project, and in the meantime, we consider who we'd smash first with our plough-refined guns. And the answer is always the patriarchy. We say it rolling our eyes in our heads on our bodies that we are resting from their control. We say it like it's a joke. 4. Lying on your back on the reformer with your feet on the footbar, take the hand straps and take the arms straight up to the ceiling, tabletop position, imprinted spine. To make it easier, make your teardrops smaller. T-zone tight, exhale now, reverse your teardrops direction, change the way the world works out. Pull the ribs to the hips, inhale, keep going, returning back down, curl up, exhale. 5. I cannot write a poem about Pilates. 6. Though I've been writing this one in the shower where I usually write my PhD, and in bed at night where I'm supposed to be doing sleep, and behind my eyes where the tears live. Last week I got to hang with both my grown-up children, and we walked safe down a safe street. My counsellor thinks it's a good idea to give the news a break.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Liz.
That was Liz Brislin speaking to me about her new book, Show You're Working Out, which is available now from all good bookstores near you. You can also catch her at the Spoken Word Roundtable 2 event presented by Dead Bird Books, which is being held at Goblin on the 7th of August. You can purchase tickets at undertherader.com.